In the arbored bedroom, the burned English patient views great distances. The way that dead knight in Ravenna, whose marble body seems alive, almost liquid, has his head raised upon a stone pillow so it can gaze beyond his feet into vista, farther than the desired reign of Africa, towards all their lives in Cairo, their works and days. Hannah sits by his bed, and she travels like a squire beside him during these journeys. The English patient begins speaking again. In 1930 we had begun mapping the greater part of the Gilf-Kebir plateau, looking for the lost oasis that was called Zurzura, the city of acacias. We were desert Europeans. John Bell had sighted the Gulf in 1917, then Kamal el-Din, then Bagnold, who found his way south in the Sand Sea, Maddox, Walpole of Desert Surveys, His Excellency Wasfi Bey, Kasparius the photographer, Dr. Kedar the geologist, and Berman, and the Gilf-Kebir, that large plateau resting in the Libyan desert, the size of Switzerland, as Maddox liked to say, was our heart. It rose out of the desert 400 miles west of the Nile. For the early Egyptians, there was supposedly no water west of the oasis towns. The world ended there. The interior was waterless, but in the emptiness of desert you were always surrounded by lost history. Tebu and Senussi tribes had roamed there, possessing wells that they guarded with great secrecy. There were rumours of fertile lands that nestled within the desert's interior. Arab writers in the 13th century spoke of Zurzura, the oasis of little birds, the city of acacias. Look at a map of the Libyan desert and you'll see names. Kamal al-Din in 1925, who, almost solitary, carried out the first great modern expedition. Bagnold, 1930-1932, Ulmashi Maddox, 1931-1937, just north of the Tropic of Cancer. We were a small clutch of a nation between the wars, mapping and re-exploring. We gathered at Dakhla and Kufra as if they were bars or cafes, an oasis society. We knew each other's intimacies, each other's skills and weaknesses. We forgave Bagnold everything for the way he wrote about dunes. The grooves in the corrugated sand resemble the hollow of the roof of a dog's mouth. That was the real Bagnold, a man who put his inquiring hand into the jaws of a dog. Sometime in 1931, I joined a Bedouin caravan and was told there was another one of us there. Fenelon Barnes, it turned out. I went to his tent. He was out for the day on some small expedition, cataloguing fossil trees. I looked around his tent, the sheaf of maps, the photos he always carried of his family, etc. As I was leaving, I saw a mirror tacked up high against the skin wall, and looking at it, I saw the reflection of the bed. There seemed to be a small lump, a dog, possibly, under the covers. I pulled back the jellaba, and there was a small Arab girl tied up, sleeping there. By 1932, Bagnold was finished, and Maddox and the rest of us were everywhere, looking for Zurzura. 1932, and 1933, and 1934. Not seeing each other for months. Just the Bedouin and us, crisscrossing the 40 days road. There were rivers of desert tribes, the most beautiful humans I've met in my life. We were German, English, Hungarian, African, all of us insignificant to them. We disappeared into landscape, fire and sand. Gradually we became nationless. I came to hate nations. I wanted to erase my name and the place I had come from. By the time the war arrived, after 10 years in the desert, it was easy for me to slip across borders, not to belong to anyone.